Namaskar, and welcome to another episode of Ananda Marga Dharmacast. This is a podcast series looking at topics in spirituality using the teaching of Sri Sri Anandamurti as our foundation. And today, the topic that we're going to address is called the 10 Characteristics of Dharma. And this is based on a lecture which Anandamurti gave in 1979 in Bangalore, India, and it's compiled in the book Ananda Vachanamritam, Part 8. So this discourse is based on an ancient poem, and it says, Dhriti Kshama Dhammasteyam Shautri Indra Nigraha Di Vidya Satyamakrota Dasakam Dharma Lakanam. So here he gives this poem gives the 10 characteristics of Dharma. And before I get into the meaning of each of those characteristics, I want to say one general thing about Dharma. So Dharma is sometimes a misunderstood word. Sometimes people feel it's their religion is their Dharma. They say, I follow the Hindu Dharma, Christian Dharma, Muslim Dharma, this Dharma, that Dharma. Some say it like that. Some say it just means your social obligation. But here, we're going to use it in the framework of how Anandamurti describes it. He says that basically Dharma means the characteristic of something, the fundamental characteristic. So that's what is the fundamental characteristic of being a human? And then also, you can look at animals, what is their fundamental characteristics. And though humans share some of the same characteristics that animals have, the same dharma, you can say, we have a higher calling, a higher dharma, and that's what Anandamurti labels Bhagavat Dharma or Manush Dharma. I mean, Manu Dharma means you could say it's divine dharma or human dharma, because human dharma, humanity expanded, becomes divinity. That's also another bedrock concept in the teachings of Anandamurti. So in this poem, they talk about the different characteristics of dharma. And here, it's useful to think of it as like this. That suppose you're a dharmic person, meaning that you're following the human dharma of expanding the mind, flowing with the cosmic entity, doing service to the creation, and merging with God. That's the human dharma. Suppose you're on that path, then what are the characteristics of somebody on that path? So that's one good way to understand these 10 characteristics. So now I'm going to go through it. The first one is dhriti. Dhriti. And it means patience. So if you've been on the spiritual path any bit, even just at the beginning, or if you've done it for a while, you understand that it's not easy. The task of becoming perfect or great or divine, it's just not a simple thing. And it's over in one 20-minute yoga session or 20-minute meditation. No, it takes a lifetime. And you have to have a lot of patience to endure. In Anandamurti's discourse, he said, suppose someone planted some seeds and then that person got impatient and dug up the ground to see, are they growing or not? And of course, the seed will never grow with that kind of intervention. So on the spiritual path, patience is a virtue that's really important. So we should try to cultivate that. And the more we cultivate it, the more successful we could be on this path of human dharma. Then the next one is called kshama, K-S, diacritical mark, Uchi, A-M-A, Kshama. It could be pronounced Kama also, in different pronunciations of Sanskrit. But here, we don't have to worry about the pronunciation, but the meaning is important, and the meaning is forgiveness. So you've heard the expression, to make a mistake is human, but to forgive is divine. So here, forgiveness is given a high place. And what Anandamurti said in his discourse back in 1979, he said, the idea is we should stop the chain of action and reaction. So suppose someone throws a stone at you, and then you throw a stone at them, and they throw a stone at you. It goes on and on. It even goes on for generations. And sometimes the future generations may forget why the first stone was even thrown. So somewhere along the path, when people can exercise some forgiveness, then this chain of action and reaction can come to an end. Now, forgiveness is not always possible in human life. I can't forgive someone who's done something to the whole society. The whole society will have to forgive. But in personal life, we can definitely exercise forgiveness. And the more we do that, the more in line with Dharma we will be, and the more divine we will be. Then the next one is called Dhamma. Dhamma means self-control. So this is an important point, because in humans we have different kind of tendencies that we fight against. You know, we can have jealousy and greed and different kind of things which are not really nice, and they're assailing our mind. But we have to maintain control over them. So self-control is really a great virtue, and we should do our best to cultivate it in any instance where it applies. So Dhamma, control, self-control. Then the next one is Asteya. Asteya means non-stealing. And so for those who have studied the idea of Yama and Niyama, the yoga code of conduct, the 10 things we should do, observances to get us in harmony with the society around us, and the purifications, the 10 Niyama, that we need to do if we are to get in harmony with ourself, if we can purify ourself. So this is very important too. So now, what is Asteya? Asteya is simple. It means non-stealing. Don't take what belongs to others. Don't even think about it. Don't plan it. Even don't take it directly. Don't take it indirectly. And Anandamurti wrote a very good little book about this. It's called A Guide to Human Conduct, where all the Yama and Niyama points are explained very nicely and quickly. It's a 70-page book. So I recommend that. So Asteya is one of the points of Yama, or more correctly called Jama, because the J in the Y, when it comes in the beginning of a word in Sanskrit, can be pronounced, it should be pronounced as a J. Then next one is Shaucha, which is also from the Niyama section. And Niyama means cleanliness. And for humans, it means internal cleanliness of the mind, keep the mind peaceful, keep it pure, and external cleanliness of our environment. That's, you've heard the expression, cleanliness is next to godliness, and it's true. If you're in a good environment with good thoughts, good things going on, and it's clean and neat, then your mind will soar, it will go higher and higher. So Shaucha. Then the next one is called Indriya Nigraha. So Indriya means the organs. Nigraha is a control. It's also similar to self-control, but here it's control of what? Control of the motor organs and the sensory organs. Those are the organs we have control of what we're going to speak and what we're going to smell and what we're going to hear. We can move away from something that's bad. where we're going to put our legs and our feet, and those are motor organs. We can't control, as someone mentioned to me, because I said just control the organs, but he said, what about the pancreas? We can't control, there's some organs beyond conscious control, the control, the so-called autonomous system. You know, your breathing goes on without your control, mostly. In yoga also we have a system of breath control, but mostly our breathing is a natural process. Those things is not included here, but Indriya Nigraha is extremely important, because we have all these senses, and if the senses run wild, then the discriminating mind can't control it. And that's why in ancient times, they used to describe it as a chariot with horses, and the charioteer is in the driver's seat. But if the horses are stronger than the reins, which is the mind, if the horses are out of control, the chariot will go in any direction, and not in the proper one, it will end up in the side of the road, in the ditch. So human life is like that too. If we let our different organs of taste and smell and desire go out of control, then we may end in the ditch. If someone, the minute they smell alcohol, gets activated by that, and then they go after it without even being able to control themselves, then you understand what will happen. So we have to have self-control. And it's interesting to note that this same point, Indriya Nigraha, was mentioned by Shiva 7,000 years ago in his Seven Secrets of Success. And it's also in the Eightfold Path of Buddha, where he calls Samyak Vak. Samyak Vak, normally some people interpret it as meaning control of speech, but no, he meant control of all the expressions, control of all the expressions. So these expressions of the motor and the sensory organs, we have to put them under our control so that our mind can work, and then we can reach the soul. That's the idea. Then the next point is D, D-H-I. D means benevolent intellect. Benevolent intellect. So you know that the human intellect is capable of many things. But some of those things are demonic. We can devise new ways to kill, new ways to torture, new ways to devastate the planet. Human mind has done that. But we can also use our mind to elevate others, to help others, to do something good. So intellect should be utilized for noble purposes. So this is called D. The next one is a little bit associated. It's vidya. Vidya. So vidya means spiritual knowledge. There are two branches of knowledge. One branch of knowledge is the mundane knowledge, sometimes called avidya. And we have to do that too, there's no doubt. That's why we live in this world, when we're able to build houses and get around and do so many things which primitive people, ancient people had a more difficult time with. So that development of human civilization has been done through the cultivation of avidya, that material science, material knowledge, and it has a place. But when we're talking about the dharma of the spiritual path, vidya means we should cultivate spiritual knowledge. And that spiritual knowledge, that spiritual force will elevate us and bring us towards our full possibility. So that's why vidya has a very important place to play. Then the next one is satyam. And this is also part of jama, niyama, part of the jama section. So we talk about satya. So satya, what is it? And I did a video on this, you know, where does absolute truth reside? I'll put a link to it. And that's about satya. So satya, generally, it means to tell the truth. So we should be honest and truthful. But it also means benevolence, to tell the truth in a way that will help people. So it's a very big part. It's one of the most important parts of spiritual conduct, I think. If you can master that, then you're in good shape. Because, for instance, suppose you're really committed to human welfare in general, then you can't steal from anyone, you can't hurt others, and so many other vices can't be done if you really are implanted in satya. And satya, also another meaning of it is, it means the absolute truth, what doesn't change. So you know that in our mundane world, many things change. The capital of one place may change. Even the composition of different nation states changes. So the boundaries that were there in 1870 in Europe are quite different from what they are in 2024. So if you're a student of geography, you have to keep up with the changes. But there's certain things that don't change, and that is the supreme entity, that cosmic entity. It's an unchangeable, absolute truth. And that's really what satya is mostly about. So we should aim for that. Now the last one is called akrodha. Akrodha. And it means freedom from anger. Krodha is anger. Akrodha means no anger. So we have to be free from anger. It means we have to have a control over the anger. You know, he mentioned there's something called sentient anger. When if a parent sees a child do something really, you know, bad, you know, it could even hurt him, starts to put his hand in the fire, the adult has to act very tough. You know, it's almost like an anger, oh, don't do that thing, to protect. So that's sentient anger. But most of the anger that we see in the world today is when people have their organs get out of control. Like I talked about, we talked about Indra and Nigraha. Some of the organs get out of control. Like you've heard of road rage incidents on the roads. People get really angry. Someone cut them off and then they say, I'll cut you off. You know, it gets very ugly because the person is taken up by that anger. So we have to reach a state of mind where we are not taken up by anger. And that's called akrodha. Then the rest of the poem says, after you get to akrodha, it says, Darshikam Dharma Lakanam. That means these are the 10 qualities of Dharma. I'll go over that poem again. Dhritikshama Dhammasteyam Shaocha Indriya Nigraha. Di Vidya Satyam Akrodha Darshikam Dharma Lakanam. So that's it. And I'm going to write in the description below, I'm going to write down each thing because someone asked me about that. I'll write down each of those qualities in the capsule description and just memorize it, but more importantly, live it. So that's the DharmaCast episode for today. And I thank some of my people who are in my live meditation on Sunday. They requested me that I go over this topic again because I read it to them and then they said, oh, can you put it down so we can hear it again? So here it is for them and for you. And if you like what you're hearing and you want to hear more, but if you like what you're hearing, give it a thumbs up on any platform that you are. If you're on YouTube, there's an easy thumbs up. Other platforms, you can also give it a positive rating or something. And if you also like it, you can comment on it. If you have any comments of how to apply these things. And if you share it with others, that's also great. And the reason why liking and commenting and sharing is good, first of all, it gives me an idea to know which content is important for you. But the main thing too also is that it helps the algorithm to display this content to more people. So if you would like to see this kind of content displayed to more people, then interact with it in some way, to subscribe to it, give it a thumbs up, give it a comment, whatever you can. Share it with your friends. This is the way to do it. So, that brings me to the end. And also, you'll see on the screen, it'll suggest another video. Go there and learn some more. That's namaskar. It means I salute you with my mind and all the love of my heart.